Welcome to the Watershed Teaching Podcast. Watershed is the high school ministry of Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Perimeter Church is part of the Presbyterian Church in America. Watershed is a place where we hope high school students would connect, receive, and transform. We want to see students connect with God and others through healthy community, receive His truth through gospel-centered, grace-based teaching, and be transformed by the gospel to then go transform their world. Thank you for downloading this podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.perimeter.org/watershed.
Hey, so tonight we're kicking off a new series, four-week series, on kind of healthy relationships. We're calling it Love Hurts. It actually kind of got named by accident because there's a thing at my house whenever one of us ask each other to do something that we don't really want to, we're like, oh, love hurts. So it's like this common saying. So because it really does, because if your love hurts in that title, we don't mean it by, hey, you're going to be hurt by love, which you probably will, but it's more to love somebody effectively, you're not doing it right if it's not uncomfortable, if it doesn't hurt sometimes.
So sacrifice. That's why we're,
what's that?
That's a little bit of sacrifice.
Yes, there you go, some sacrifice. So love hurts. So, but we're going into this new series called Healthy Relationships, Love Hurts, and we want to look at it kind of from the perspective of some couples that have relationships. So let me take a second. I want to introduce somebody that, besides Jesus, has been the single most impactful person on my life and the person that I love the most in this world, right, this realm. Jesus first, my wife second. But this is my wife, Bonnie. We have, yeah, give it up for her. This summer will be 14 years, correct? She always gives me a hard time because I'm really bad with dates and years and stuff like that. So I got that right. Don't ask me my anniversary, but I know it's summertime.
And don't ask when Valentine's Day is. It's the same day every year.
Yeah, thanks, babe.
But it's the same with Halloween, so it's not just because it's Valentine's Day. It's just a date thing.
Right,
it's
right.
Okay.
Halloween, Valentine's Day, it's all the same thing. So anyway, so what we want to do, we want to kind of share it from that lens, that perspective, because I feel like for y'all, being in high school, there's a few different reasons you're going to be in a relationship, right? Like it might be a popularity status thing. It might be, man, if I can date this girl, I can date this guy, it'll make me somebody. You know, other guys will look at my girlfriend and go, man, she's pretty, like, he must be cool. So that could be one reason, like a status popularity thing.
Fear of being alone, not wanting to be by yourself.
Yep. It could just be as simple as you in high school, you've got your own culture. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about cultures of different people, but there is, high school has its own culture. And it could be also just your culture of telling you, like, well, you need a boyfriend. You need a girlfriend. That's what you do.
Could be validation, like to make yourself feel worthy or good about yourself, to feel like someone else has to tell you that by being your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. And so Bonnie and I didn't meet till later on in our 20s. So
his 20s. I'm just kidding. I was 19.
I was like 38.
No.
Not really.
Not really.
I was like 42. But so with us not meeting until Bonnie was like 12 and I was 30, we didn't know each other in high school because we didn't meet later in life. And I knew some of the relationships Bonnie had just from talking to her. But I don't know him firsthand. I only know him from afar. And so really just kind of want her to share a little bit, why was she in relationships in high school and kind of that experience?
I dated the same boy for 4 years, like 9th through 12th grade. And a big motivation of it was just not to be alone. I think I had like that safety, comfort, and then also like not having the pressure of what was I doing Friday night or was I going to that party. It was just kind of a comfortable, like, easy thing.
Yep. I made fun of him because he wore tights.
He worked at the Renaissance Festival. Did I just say that?
That's awesome. Well, It's so similar, me and that fella.
I know.
She goes for the same guy every time.
Every time.
Well, and so for me in high school, it was something totally different, probably a little bit more embarrassing, because for me, it was a pride and validation type of thing. It was a, as silly as it sounds, almost like an arm candy type of thing for me, because mine was constantly going for the girl that everybody else held up on a pedestal in our high school. Because I would go, okay, if I get that girl, if I win her over, everybody looks at me and goes, he's a man. He's the man because he can get that girl or the girl that he wants. And so for me, it was always almost like a, and ladies, I know it sounds terrible, but it was always a proven ground for me to validate my manhood, to go, look at this girl, that's mine, and she is mine. And I mean, it was just ridiculous. But for me, and I wasn't even that bad of a guy in high school as far as when it came to treating girls one way or the other, but that was what drew me into relationships. Now, fast forward some years, and I'm kind of getting my life back on track, and I'm on Young Life staff in LaGrange, Georgia. And a huge part of my job with Young Life when I was on Young Life staff was to recruit new leaders.
Which is how we met.
Yep.
So there was, I was at LaGrange College, and there was this table in the courtyard, and I had to walk through there to get to lunch. So I hear this guy calling me over, and so I walk over, and he's sitting there with a guy that I knew.
The guy who was calling her over.
Yeah.
I wasn't like catcalling, like, what's up, baby?
No.
You know, like,
no.
It was the other guy that was calling her over. He knew
yeah.
her.
So he calls me over, tells me about Young Life. I had to put down my name and phone number. Yeah.
That's how you recruit leaders. You got to get their phone number.
Put down the name and number. But then he said, what's your major? And I said, art. And he said, you know you'll never make any money, right?
So for some reason, I thought that was like a witty pickup line.
So I immediately didn't really like him, but he was really persistent. So he called probably, I don't know, once a week to see if I wanted to come be
ministry.
A Young Life leader.
Ministry. I needed leaders.
Yeah.
She had a boyfriend, too, by the way. He didn't have a chance. So she ended up becoming a leader, mm-hmm. dropped the zero, got with a hero. But that was actually kind of on down the road because she became a leader, and we really did, for months, we did ministry together. We went to the high schools together doing ministry. We went to practices, to games. And she was a Young Life leader for me, and we became super close, good friends to the point where our whole Young Life club, 100 high school kids from the crowd are asking us why we're not dating and you should go out with her, and just making it really awkward. and finally, just one day, my area director kind of saw there was something growing with us, and he was like, dude, you should just ask her out, because there was kind of this policy we don't want inter-team dating, because then they break up, and then somebody quits, and it's awkward, and it's bad for the ministry. But he was like, dude, you need to go for that girl. And I did. And here we are. Because we got engaged in LaGrange, dated mm-hmm. for some times, months and days and weeks. I'm really bad with dates and times. But we dated for more than a year, but less than five.
It was a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then we got engaged.
That's exactly what I said. And so we got engaged and got married, and then that was where we are. But here's the thing in this, and this is something Bonnie and I have a unique opportunity. We've got to do several marriages for young couples. And so whenever somebody comes to me and goes, hey, will you marry us? That sounds weird. One, I'm like, I'm already married. But I say, hey, yeah, I'll officiate the service, but you've got to do premarital counseling with us. And so we get to speak into young couples' lives, and it's really out of our journey and kind of some self-discovery and some things and what God has showed us through our marriage. Because the thing is, hear this, there's a deception out there that if you can find somebody you really like, even love, and that person love you back, then you've made it. You've been completed. You have that satisfaction, man, if I can just have this secure where I love them and they really love me, like things will be so much better. The sky will be a little bluer, the sunshine a little warmer, maybe even a little pet bird to hang on your shoulder and sing songs. I don't know, but you think like everything's awesome.
You should show the clip.
Huh?
You should show the clip.
Yeah, so you think it's like this. No, that's not it at all. But that is true.
Yes.
That is true.
I have to step in here, though.
Yeah.
Okay. That was so me. Because not that I didn't know who I was and didn't know my identity in Christ, but when meeting Rip, it was so great. And I have proof. Hang on. Okay. So he was so awesome. Like,
I did not make that book, by the way. I just want to point that out.
I made this out of all the cards that he would leave on my car and in my mailbox in different places. But anyway, he was just that awesome that it was really easy. It was really easy for me to feel like, sorry.
No, that's cool if you want to embarrass me. That's fine.
Sorry. But it was very easy for me to feel completed by like such grand love that it was just so awesome and I was treated so well. So one day, we're married probably maybe a year or two at this point, and one day I said 5 words that scared him more than anything, and I said, "I think you're perfect." And he didn't say what I thought he would say, like, "Thank you," or "You're right." He was like, "No, no, 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 no," and he said, "I am not perfect. Whatever pedestal you have me on, take me off," because he knew that one day he was probably going to disappoint me. And the idea that I had him on this pedestal that he was perfect scared him to death.
Yeah, absolutely. Ironic, looking back, I'm like, well, and now that I'm looking back, I'm like, you're right. I am perfect.
14 years later, I don't say it.
Yeah, she
I've come
she
to
definitely
realize.
Does not think that anymore. No. 14 years into our marriage. But the thing is, we see something like that, and man, there's countless movies I can show, one after another, and we get swept away by that. We go, oh my gosh, how romantic, what beautiful love. If I can only experience that, if I can have that one day, that's what I'm supposed to have. But the truth is that when you go into it thinking that, the first time that person lets you down, it's devastating. And you don't realize it, but because you went into it going, "This here's my satisfaction, here's my completeness," that person lets you down, and it's so devastating because it's like, wait a second, that's not supposed to happen. That's not the way it's supposed to go. That's not what I see in the movies. That's not what I see in our culture, this perfect love. But here's the thing. I'm telling y'all this. Some of you will hear this, and I promise you, it will change your relationships, your love relationships, from now until the day you go to heaven. Some of you will hear it, and you just won't get it. You won't understand. It'll just fall off of you, or you will sweep it away. But I'm telling you this, if you can hear this and understand this, it will change and impact your relationship in an unreal way, for the better. And before I give that to you, let me read this scripture out of Colossians 2. "Yet it is in him that God gives a full and complete expression of himself in Jesus. Moreover, your own completeness is only realized in Jesus Christ, who is the authority over all authorities and the supreme power over all powers." Your relationship will fail from now to your marriage, to your second marriage, to your third marriage, however long it takes. Your relationships will fail until you understand who you are and whose you are. Until you understand your completeness, your value, your validation, your full satisfaction can only be met by Jesus Christ, then every relationship will end up in a disaster. And you will be left going, what happened to you complete me? It didn't go that way. Because the thing is, too, the ultimate goal of dating, whether you shouldn't be thinking about this yet, but whether you think about this or not, the ultimate goal in dating is marriage. It is like, it's kind of like football. I'm a sports guy, but it's like dating, and that Friday night game is almost like your practice. You know what I mean? So, like, you're dating, you're practicing, and then marriage is almost like the Super Bowl of dating. And so, but know this, because marriage, here's the thing of marriage. You think, oh, man, marriage is going to be great for me because it's for me and it's for my spouse, and it's not. Your marriage is not about you. My marriage is not about me. My marriage is not about her. Our marriage is about something bigger. It's about a reflection of who God is. Because the way God makes Bonnie as a woman, it reflects who he is. Because of the way God makes me as a man, it reflects who he is. So when the two are united as one, it is therefore a better picture of what God is like. So our marriage is for a watching world to look at to get a picture of what Jesus is like. So if you don't now begin to discover that your completeness, your satisfaction, your identity, everything you are is in Jesus Christ, then every relationship is going to be a disaster. And we have marriages that we meet with those couples who are struggling, and their marriage is really terrible. I mean, for lack of better words. And it's because of that. It's because they keep looking to each other to fulfill each other, and then when they don't, they find themselves going, well, you should be this for me, and you're not this for me, and you should be doing more, and it's just this cycle, and it's never going to get better. It's like, I love this illustration, it's like a glove, okay? A glove is made for a certain purpose, right? It's to put your hand in, and then the glove works. Sitting there by itself, a glove does nothing. And you can put all kinds of different stuff in a glove, you know what I mean? And it's still not going to work. You can put food in a glove, you can put trash in a glove, you can put a dog in a glove. I don't know if you can put a dog in a glove. But it's not going to work until it's paired with what it was designed for. You were designed and created for a purpose, connection with Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that you will operate in complete fullness and satisfaction is in Christ. And it's like all these other things that you reach for, popularity, good grades, boyfriend, girlfriend, all these things will keep not fitting. And it's like, man, my life is still, it's just not working, and there's bumps and there's tragedy. And I'm not saying walking with Jesus is going to be, now your life's perfect. But I'm telling you, things will not fit when you keep trying to fit those different things. It is only until you step into your purpose, what you're designed to be, and that's connection to Jesus. I know we started running out of time. Did you have anything else you wanted to add? Okay, sorry, we ran over a little bit. Let me pray for you, and then just got a couple announcements. God, we thank you. Jesus, we just thank you for the gift of relationships, of friendships, of marriage, of love. God, help us always remember that it comes from you, that it is something that we do not author, that we do not create, but God, it is something that we experience as it comes from you. Lord, help us remember that everything we are is connected to you, that God, you are our identity, and that's what we rest in, and that everything else is just a derivative of that. We thank you. I just ask that you give wisdom to all our high school friends, as some are in relationships, some aren't, some want to be. Some are brokenhearted from past ones. But God, give them wisdom and courage in that. It's in your name we pray.